I'm Susan Lube from Women's Focus, and I'm talking today to Christine Chandler, who's running up in Los Alamos for a seat that was once held by Jeanette Wallace, who was kind of a revered woman in the legislature. Welcome to Women's Focus.
Thank you, Susan. It's really a privilege to be with you, and I'm very happy to be talking with you this morning.
Well, we were just talking about how we met because you were working in the legislature on the Senate side, not on the House side, which is where you'll be if you win this election. But you were working as a legislative analyst for Senate Judiciary. So I guess you must have enjoyed that and decided you wanted to do more.
Yes. So I am a licensed attorney, and for many years I had practiced at Los Alamos National Laboratory as an in-house attorney. After I retired, I reached out to Senator Martinez, who's the chair of the committee, because I've always been interested in public policy and politics, and I had heard that the legislative analyst position was an interesting one, which it proved itself to be. And it's been I've done that job for about 4 years now. And
oh, it's been that long.
Oh, yes. 4 years in 5 years. So I took a break. I am also a member of the Los Alamos County Council, and I was elected in 2016, so I took a break in 2017 because I was sort of getting my footings in the Los Alamos County Council, and I didn't feel I'd have time to really focus my attention on being an analyst. But I've done it for a number of years. It's an excellent experience. Senate Judiciary is one of, people really view that as one of the high-powered committees of the Senate, mm-hmm. And I think you would agree with that, Susan. There are some really intelligent, capable people. Senator Wirth is on that committee. Michael Sanchez had been on it until he left the Senate. And, Senator Cervantes, of course. It's a very strong committee. And Richard Martinez is the chair, and he's done an excellent job chairing that committee. So I've learned a lot, and I hope that will give me a good foundation for when I assume the role of state representative for the district.
So you really knew what you were getting in for, and you liked to do it anyway, or you went ahead to do it anyway. So you must be one of those people. Sometimes people get kind of fascinated by the legislature and by the process.
That is true. Certainly, I found it a very stimulating experience. But even before I decided to run for this House seat, I was active in the Los Alamos community. As I said, I'm on the Los Alamos County Council. It's my second term. I had been on a term. I had served a term about 20 years ago on the council. And even as a younger person, I was interested in politics, really starting from college.
Oh.
And so I studied government. In college, I ran for the school board in the hometown in which I was living, and I was also going to school. So always been interested in public policy, always been interested in how the public process shapes public policy, really since I was, about 19 or 20 years old. I just see this as a bit of an extension. It's a challenge. I know the processes are different. I know Los Alamos very well, and through the campaign, I've been working hard to get to know the other parts of the district. It's a very diverse district, as I'm sure you know. So it includes Los Alamos County, and then it includes, for example, Cuba, Guyana. It includes the Jemez, so Jemez Springs and Ponderosa are in the district, and La Cienega, and a very small part of Santa Fe County, the sort of southern tip near the airport, is included in the district. So there are a lot of different needs and interests in the diverse components. And for me, the interesting part has been, reaching out to these newer areas that I don't know as well because I don't live there to understand what they need, what the rural communities need, and so that I can be effective for them as well as Los Alamos County.
Well, I'm glad you reminded me because I did an interview during the primary season with Stephanie Garcia Richard, who was in that seat before, and she talked about the district that she had been representing and working with and about the tribes and the different areas, and I knew it went down to Jemez because of when she first started running for that office. So It is a really sort of fascinating district because of the variety. And it is.
And I've tried to educate myself on what the needs are. Rural areas have are very tied to some of their traditional agricultural practices. And so the acequias and the water systems in those communities are very important. Natural resources are very important. People still are doing agricultural activities in many parts of the district. So I need to understand that. I'm very interested in working with the acequias to make sure that their interests and needs are being met. You know, I've enjoyed tremendously just the campaigning part of this whole endeavor.
What kind of a reaction are you getting? Because I think the people in that district must have been used to having representatives who were there for a long time. Jeanette Wallace was, of course, there for a long time and not being used to new faces coming around.
No, it's true. And I feel I've had a very good reception until just recently. I've been in practice with my husband. My husband's a water law lawyer, so I often would bring him to some of the meetings where I'm meeting with rural folks who have rural issues, and they were very responsive to the fact that I was clearly interested and had some expertise at my disposal to help them with some of their issues. But bringing up Jeanette Wallace, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about that, people still talk about Jeanette.
Oh, do they?
Off the hill. And with great affection, because she spent the time to visit with them and to understand their needs. And I'm hoping to model myself on what she did, as well as Stephanie. I know Stephanie also worked very hard, but they still speak very fondly of Jeanette because she understood that her job went beyond just Los Alamos County, which is the largest piece of the district, of course, but to the other parts of the district that have different needs. And she spent the time in those districts, and they appreciated that very much. And so they still speak of her, and I think that really speaks to how well she did for the entire district, and I'm hoping to be able to do that as well.
That does, it sort of warms my heart, because not only did I enjoy talking to her, but she had a funny laugh and sort of a good sense of humor that was
often needed
when things got kind of tense. She was on the House Appropriations Committee forever,
uh-huh.
And Stephanie Garcia-Richard was also on that until she had to give it up in order to become head of education. So are you looking to try to do that sort of thing? Or what?
Yes.
Where do you want to go?
Well, I certainly am looking at appropriations. It's a little bit in our tradition, and I like traditions. And even going beyond that, you learn a lot when you're on appropriations. You learn a lot about how the government functions and how the agencies function. And I think that's a good foundation that will make you an effective legislator, even going beyond appropriations, or should I move to another committee. And if I'm lucky enough to be appointed to it, of course, a lot of people want to be on appropriations, and you know, there are seniority issues and so on, so I don't know how the decision will be made. But I certainly am interested in being on appropriations because I think it will allow me to do some good for the district as well.
Yes. Tell me what sort of things you were interested in when you were legislating before when you were on the town council.
Oh, so in terms of town council or city council or county council work that we do, I'm a governance kind of a person, which I know sounds kind of wonky and so on. So open government issues were always of interest to me. I was very active in reviewing and making recommendations on how to change our charter to make it more sort of, timely or modern to meet our current needs. Those kinds of things I'm very interested in. I am interested in economic development issues and supporting any initiatives that the county can do to bring in businesses. We have Los Alamos National Lab in the county, which is a great thing and also not a great thing because it dominates our economy. And as a result, our economy goes up and down with what's going on at the laboratory. And right now there's a big issue happening with the lab because we're changing contractors from a for-profit contractor to a not-for-profit contractor, and how that is going to impact our gross receipts revenues, not just for the county, but also for the state, and for our regional transit system, all of whom rely on some significant amount of money, revenues coming in from the current contractor at the laboratory. So I'm interested in economic development. I'm interested in, you know, good government kinds of issues. When I'm at the legislature, I will certainly be pursuing helping us improve the educational system in the state. And that's a big issue across my district. I'm sure you know Los Alamos residents are very interested in ensuring their schools are strong and excellent for their kids, but every parent in the district wants a strong and excellent school system for their children, and I think we need to be focusing on that. You know, of course, about the lawsuit, the Yazzie lawsuit, in mm-hmm. which Judge Singleton said, we're not funding and we're not providing an adequate education for many children in the district, and we have to turn that around for sure.
I understand that there's some thinking about passing a law, some sort of law that would make it that even if a nonprofit is running the lab, mm-hmm. that there's a way of generating income from
yes.
it, that there's some kind of taxing possibilities.
Yes. And in our last session, Stephanie Garcia-Richard and Senators Martinez and Cisneros co-sponsored a bill that would have removed the exemption for a not-for-profit that is operating a DOE laboratory in the state. That passed both houses by pretty reasonable margins, but unfortunately the governor vetoed the bill. So we're now at a juncture where we'll be looking at that again. I understand Senator Cisneros may be working on something along those lines, and I'd like to partner with him, if I could, to come up with another bill that perhaps we could get through the legislature again, and the new governor might be more amenable to signing off on it. That would resolve it. It's very difficult for a local community and the state to not have reliable revenue streams, and to have the lab bouncing between for-profit and not-for-profits and then leaving up in the air as to how the revenues are going to be handled is places all of the governments involved in an uneasy situation. We're on hold in terms of planning some things, budget things, because we really have no idea at this point whether or not Triad, which is the new contractor, will be a tax-paying entity or a non-tax-paying entity. And that impacts our budget planning significantly, as you might imagine.
Yes, but I understand that the new idea is basing it on the size of the nonprofit.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Which
yes.
makes more sense.
Yes. So I believe they're looking at some threshold, a very high threshold, because certainly we don't want to impact small charities and not-for-profits and that kind of thing. But frankly, the laboratory is a large industrial complex. It certainly does scientific research, but it's a $2.5 billion operation that has a lot of moving parts. And to my way of thinking, I don't think that's what was contemplated when we were talking about charitable exemptions.
Yes.
We were talking about the Heart Association or the YMCA, things
yeah.
of that nature. That's really what people are thinking about when we're talking about charitable deductions and exemptions.
Well, one of the things that I'm interested in, and I've been talking about it for a while now, is whether women wielding power, and whether when they get into situations where they can have power, whether they actually have the power that men in the same situations have.
Yeah.
And you've had, obviously, you've had different kinds of experiences as working on the local level and now looking at working at the state level, and probably when you were working as an analyst also. So
sure.
talk to me a little bit about wielding power.
So, I think that's a really interesting point. And in my experience, and I'm just speaking for me because that's all I can do at this point, is I have always felt that this is what I think about women. Women feel like they have to work harder and to gain the respect. And my approach has always been to do my homework. I do a lot of reading when I'm considering some policy, and I often go online to see what other states do or what are the trends and what is the literature talking about. And I have found that if I come in prepared and knowledgeable, that is what rules the day. And that has always worked for me. And as a result, whatever power, if you want to call it that, is I've been able to use. But it's not because I hold the position. I think it's because I'm come in prepared and ready for the issues that are being presented and the positions that are being presented.
Okay.
And does that make sense to
yes.
you?
Yes. And it probably means that you feel more comfortable speaking, too.
Yes, exactly. It's true. I think when you are confident with the information that you're wielding, you are much more confident in talking about it. So I have always worked to try to do that, and generally it works for me. Generally it works pretty well. And so I'm anticipating when I'm in the House, and I'm optimistic that I will be, I anticipate that I'll be doing the same kind of thing, and that will garner the respect not just of my colleagues, but also the public appreciates the fact that that you're doing your homework. And they, certainly in Los Alamos, that resonates with people.
Yes.
And, definitely, I expect that to happen when I'm, you know, and participating in committees and so on. The other thing that I've always enjoyed as public, you know, official and is working with the public. Certainly in Los Alamos, we have a very active citizenry, and they attend a lot of our meetings, and they have a lot of points of views about things. And I found that the public will respect you, even if you disagree with them, if you're willing to talk to them about why they believe the way they do or how strongly they feel about something. So if you're straight with members of the public and you can show them that you have thought about what you're working on and why you're doing it, and you talk to them and listen and adjust. And I've learned to adjust over time based on conversations with members of the public. That resonates with them, and they respect you. And I hope to do that also when I'm in the legislature.
And do you mean that they respect you even if they disagree with you?
Yes. Yeah, you know, not 100%. Let's face it. There are people who are polarized on every side. And for those folks, it's a lot harder. But there are many people, and I really made it one of my goals this time as a counselor, my second term, to try to understand better how to work with people who disagree with the approach that the council or I want to pursue. And I have found that if I just reach out, sometimes we'll get an email or something that's not always the nicest, you know, kind of hostile or angry about something. Why is this a silly, dumb thing that you guys are doing or whatever? I have tried to make it a practice to reach out to that person and say, hey, you know, I'm always happy to talk. And sometimes they take me up on it, and they're pleased by the outcome. I may change my views a little bit, you know, because sometimes when you talk to members of the public, you don't realize how what you just did impacts them.
Yes.
You know, in practical terms. And if you're willing to adjust a little bit to account for some of that, I have found that people are really appreciative. And if you treat them with respect when you're talking with them and appreciate what they're trying to tell you, that resonates with people. So there are people out there where we have agreed to disagree, but they're supporters. You know, they're supporters of me in this race. And, you know, and I really appreciate that. People, you can work with people. You just have to be conscious of the fact you're not always going to agree and be able to move forward from that.
Did you say that your husband is on the county council now? I mean,
no, he's not now. He was on the council in the mid-80s or late 80s or so. He was a lab physicist for a long time, and we met while I was a lab lawyer, and then he retired at age 60 and went to law school and is practicing law. Now he's starting to wind down his practice as well. But so we have a lot in common in terms of we both are interested in legal things, and we have an interest in government and public policy. So it's a little bit of a team effort sometime on certain issues that we're interested in.
That's what I was thinking. This campaign is probably sort of a family affair.
It is, and it's fun for us, you know, because we're both interested in the issues. So my husband is very interested in criminal justice reform, and he often attended in these last few sessions the many hearings where there have been discussions of this. And I know you follow the legislature, Susan, so mm-hmm. you know that there's been a lot of talk about how do we reform the system that we're so that we're prosecuting serious criminals, but we're accommodating and somehow addressing the core issues for first-time offenders or offenders who are really reacting to the fact that they're addicted to some sort of drug or alcohol issue. And how do we separate out the two so that we have diversionary programs in place for people we don't want to be sending to prison, where we want to try to be able to help them rehabilitate themselves so that they are productive members of society. My husband's been very interested in that, and I, of course, was interested in judiciary, was very much involved in Senate judiciary, is very much involved in some of those issues. So I plan on being active in that area as well.
So will you be trying to get on judiciary, or might that be?
I would love to be. I'm wondering whether or not I can be on both appropriations and judiciary at the same time. They're both, as I understand it, pretty popular committees in terms of where people want to be.
Yeah. But
it may not be a doable thing, but I suppose I can aspire, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you almost are sort of skipping over the campaign part and already getting into action.
Well, there's not a lot of time. So.
No.
I have been starting to worry a little bit about that. So, yes, I am starting to think about committees, what kinds of things I want to be working on, because November 6th isn't that far from now, and then there's going to be a whirlwind of activity in the next, the 6 weeks or 8 weeks just before the session starts. So, yeah, I actually am thinking about what kinds of things, and I have contacted sitting legislators now just to get some ideas about what I should be thinking about, what I should expect on my first day. Because I really, I know there's a, even though I've worked as an analyst, there's going to be a lot for me to learn just in terms of legislative processes. The House operates differently from the Senate in some respects, so I need to get up to speed. And I like to work with other people on issues. I'm not a soloist. I like team efforts. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be looking to like-minded colleagues, Democrats and Republicans, to try to come up with, fair and reasonable solutions to the many, many problems the state faces.
And which, of course, you know about a number of those problems. Well, we certainly wish you well. And
Thank you, Susan. Hope
that if you should win, that you'll come back and share some of your thoughts with us and
maybe
what you think after the fact, if anything has changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be fun. Well, thanks a lot for talking to us. I've been talking to Christine Chandler, and she is running for the Los Alamos seat. Is it
District
43?
District 43. Yes.
43, okay. Thanks a lot for taking some time to talk to us.
Great. Take care, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye.